held on May 15th, 2018, and meeting time start is 1:02 p.m. And we're here at the Luzak Library in the Moose Room. So we'll go around the table, because I'm assuming this is all being recorded so everybody can sign in or say who you want to be today. So Brian, you want to go first?
Brian Lindemuth, Alaska Railroad.
Al Lux from J Bear.
Jamie Acton, filling in for Craig Lyon for MS.
Lamar Anderson, one of the public seats.
I would be whoever we want to be.
You want to be anybody you want to be.
And then DeReese, Mayor Palmer.
Cynthia Wentworth, public member.
Okay, and then I think, Brian, you're on the phone, right? I mean, not Brian, Ernie.
Ernie, yeah, he's on the phone.
Ernie, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, sorry, we don't have the phone hooked up yet, so it'll be a few more minutes before the real phone is hooked up, but, you know.
It'll get better, I promise.
I'm Justin Fox, I'm also on the phone.
Okay, and
Mark Logan is calling in too.
Okay, and Justin, who are you with?
I'm with AECOM, Transportation Planning and Engineering.
Okay, you were on the phone last time, right?
Right, I was the fellow on the phone last time.
Okay. Thanks for being here again. And Ernie and commissioners here, okay. And also we have Governor Sheffield's here with us also. So he said, commissioner behave, otherwise he's coming back.
Is that right?
So anybody else need to be recognized? I missed Tim Sullivan. It's here from the Alaska Railroad. He said we can have anything we want to, so that's good. So I got, Ernie, I got you on first. It says review of the draft recommendation. If you want to go ahead.
Indeed, and you have it in front of you, so I won't elaborate on too much, but the rationale behind this. Valley and DOT would contribute staff Alaska Railroad has put together a good plan. The funding has come from the sources as described, and it's a 2020 pilot as opposed to a 2019 pilot.
Okay, so I'm going to just ask a couple questions. So if we could come up with the $6 million by August of 2018, we can go ahead and do the capital funding, right?
Well, certainly. That was the deadline for the Alaska Railroad.
Okay.
To come up with that. So if there were a source for that.
Okay, so if we come up with the $6 million by the end of August of 2018, that can meet the timeline to maybe start the pilot project in 19, correct? It just moves it up a year? Just for me personally, I just don't want to lose the momentum. And if we sit by the road or along the tracks for another year, I think we lose some of the momentum we have now. And I'm not too sure it's going to get any better next year in June, unless somebody knows something I don't know. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into the politics of, I mean, if we have a change in administration, who knows if we even be at the table next year. So I don't want to lose any momentum that we have. If we can, do we need to hang up on him and call back?
No.
Okay. We're trying to get you on the big speaker, not the little speaker. Okay, so I'm not trying to cut you off. No, I still like you. Brian's, Ernie is shaking his head yes, that if we can get the money by the end of August this year, then we can go ahead and get the equipment ordered. And that's a $6 million lift, and then we'd have to come up with at least $4 million the next year for operational. That's what I was told at the last meeting. Plus, hopefully the number didn't go up. Right? But I know there was a 20%.
8.2 is the annual operating cost, right? Unless I'm looking for my notes right.
Operational cost went to 8? I thought it was 4. It was 4 last week, or 2 weeks ago.
I defer to my brother Brian.
It's always been 8. It's basically 4 train. So
okay, but if we just do one train, it's 4.
If you only do one train, it is
4.
3.9.
Well, half of 8 is 4.
Well, it's not quite that simple.
I went to school in Palmer, right?
I went to school outside of D.C., so.
I'm afraid to ask you.
You're correct. It's 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can talk for 1 million.
Yeah. So we don't get caught up in the weeds, for me anyway. First one is we need to come up with $6 million by the end of August of this year to move on to the next phase, which would be go after the operational in the next cycle. If that's what we can do, if we can pull it off, right?
Does the operational include for transit service as well?
No.
That's just a train.
And then, who wants to be Anchorage? Are you Anchorage? You want to be Anchorage? And then I figure if we can get 6 in there, that gives us a year between us and you and whoever else to come up with our end and your end. And that would be a different, I don't want to get tied up in here, otherwise we might never get out of here. That would be some different ways to look at funding and
DMT also has that utility relocate they have to do as part of Main Street, but we can work with them on that.
Right, because I think that, and Commissioner, you're still there, right?
I'm scratching my head trying to figure out where we come up with this
$8. Okay, well, that's okay. If we can come up with it, we come up with it. But Commissioner, on moving that utility box or whatever you want to call it, I mean, we have to move that anyway for the DOT couplet, right?
Officer Smith, this is another 2 years probably.
Right. Okay, unless you. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, that's got to be moved whether
correct
it comes out of this.
Can you hang that one up?
Yeah.
I think the easiest way to
took you from the little box to the big box.
In terms of a recommendation, is that you take the basic recommendation that I have here and then add a, you know, a sub letter that just says, should funding become available before that, then the Alaska Railroad would proceed with the engineering based on the funding that was made available to them in 2018.
The only concern I have is I don't want to, and I'm trying to be politically correct here, I don't want a loophole when somebody says, well, they said we can wait another year. I just don't want to lose any steam that we have, because I don't think it's going to get any better a year down the road if we kick. Anyway, so if we can find the funding in the next 2-3 months, then we go ahead. If not, then we still have the recommendation, right?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's one of the piece that I wanted to insert, Mr. Mayor, is the fact that, you know, right now as I look at, you know, what's the nearest hottest thread, if you will, that's the recommendation to the governor on this, you know, on the pilot program and any follow on. That's what he asked from you, and that is due by the end of this month. And so I would agree with Ernie that that's the part that we want to be as focused on as we possibly can to get that piece done, while we are also, you know, as you are already doing, trying to figure out, okay, if we want to keep this momentum going, keep it on track, then, you know, how do we go out and find funds for that?
Right. So, because I think your department's done great. I think the Alaska Railroad's done great. We know what the numbers are. We know the timelines. Now it's up to us as politicians, whoever, to go find the money. That's kind of what I thought our piece should be, right?
I think that sounds about right.
Okay. I mean, I'm not the operational guy. I'm not the DOT guy. I'm just the one trying to make sure we go from point A to point B, and how much money you want, and that's up to us to go find it. If that's what we do, so. Okay, so Ernie, are we going to be able to see a copy of the letter, or who's going to sign it, or?
Well, that would be for the task force to approve, and for the chair or the acting chair or whoever is the chief poobah of the task force to sign. Happy to draft it, and then that would be done officially by the task force. Keep in mind as well, the task force is active through the 1st of October 2019 by executive order. So it's not as if this disappears, or that the temporary setback for lack of funding erases the task force's ability to continue to build a public policy coalition for it. And so I think you're actually in a pretty good position.
Okay, so I think everybody's shaking their heads yes. Can you take the first run of the draft and then send it up to us so we can all take a look at it?
I shall do that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's what we were going to do 2 weeks ago, and that's what we were going to get last week so that we could actually finalize it, you know, today. So,
and I think, Lamar, that the difference is that at the time the legislative conference committee was still working through the budget, and now that the conference committee made recommendations and the legislature passed it, that now we understand on a firmer footing that there's no funding from the state of Alaska for this fiscal year, and that just gives us now a clear path now that we know that occurred.
Yeah. Well, my interest would be that we don't lose another 2 weeks, that it actually gets done this time.
So Ernie, to answer Lamar's question, how soon could you have a draft up to us? Next week?
Today is
Tuesday.
Tuesday. On the railroad, it's very difficult to keep track of what calendar day it is, because they all run together. But by Thursday, I can have you a letter.
Okay, so if you send it up to us through the DOT channel, right? DOT? Yeah, DOT channel.
I'll send it to Ms. Gould, and she'll distribute it as appropriate.
Okay, and then we can have a meeting early next Monday or Tuesday and get this thing done, and if there's any changes, we get it done. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, if you send it to Megan, right?
Yeah, he can send it to me, Colleen.
Oh, Colleen. Yeah, okay. Send it to them, they'll get it to us, and then we'll have a meeting next, probably Tuesday, and we can sign, and it can be done.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that work for you, Ernie?
Indeed it does.
Okay, all right. That's good for the board? Okay. All right, so I just want to make sure one more time, because it's all being taped, so I can hold you to it. If we come up with $6 million this year by the end of August, that we can go ahead and start the process, correct? Okay, Brian's saying yes, shaking his head. And then we have to come up with another additional $4 million for one train during next year. And then we would run a test pilot program starting the end of summer of 2019, which would run for about 6 months. And during that 6 month period, Anchorage, Wasilla, and whoever else we're going to stop at can figure out how we're going to shuffle people in and out. So that would give us like an 18 month lead time. And I'm sure we can figure out stuff. I have faith.
I still have some questions on the Joint Powers Board.
Okay.
But let's finish this discussion first.
Okay, so Ernie, you got your marching orders. Anything else we need to clarify or define on you?
Well, based on the last comment, which I think was from Cynthia Wentworth, I think one of the things that the task force needs to discuss is what effort and tasks are associated with creating a joint powers board. And what I also think is that perhaps if there were a question to the Attorney General about whether the task force could serve as that joint powers board for some interim period, and what type of a charter would be necessary to do that.
Okay. Yeah, because otherwise it's got to come under legislative code. That could take 10 years to get it through legislative code.
Yeah, Ernie, this is Cynthia. I was not the one who asked that question, but I think it's a very good question. Who asked it? You. Yeah, it was Edna DeVries who asked that question. I think it was a real good one.
That's
okay, Ernie. That's okay, Ernie. But I'd agree with Bert Cottle. If we wait for the legislature, we'll wait forever. We did that between 2002 and 2009 when Bruce Carr was helping us. And Bruce worked like crazy. We all worked like crazy with the legislature for a joint powers board, and we got nowhere but frustrated. So hopefully we can do like what you just suggested and what Bert reiterated.
Has to come in under something that is existing now, rather than like what you're saying is trying to
start
brand new and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Or maybe we stay as a task force we're a task force now till
October
of next year.
2019. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So we already have some kind of recognition, and during that time, if we could, I would say, then before October 19, we come up with some kind of a board if we get the funding, if we go to the next level.
Right, because we have to receive. I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. But I think what you said was good. Like, we can get the Attorney General. Could he tell us if we could do that?
If not, we fire them, go get another one. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes, and you get the right Attorney General.
What do you think, Sarah?
Well, I think that as we discussed at the last meeting, Ann Brooks put together a pretty good analysis of what it would take to put together a regional transit authority. But what I think would be more appropriate here is for a joint powers board, which is one step down in complexity. And I think it would be important for each of the stakeholder groups to go back to their legal
peoples and asked, you know, what are the political jurisdictions most important interests in creating that kind of an organization?
Ernie, I think the Matsu Borough in the city of Anchorage at one time had a working task force. They started one, and it just depends on the politics at the time, but they had one that they were doing meetings back and forth at one time. So I'm not saying we got to reinvent the wheel, but yeah, I think we can work it out so we don't duplicate everybody.
Yeah, essentially the charter says that we, the assembled group of political entities, agree that we will meet under these circumstances and bylaws, and we will make decisions about how we accept and expend funds. And it's kind of not that difficult because there aren't any funds right now. So I think just putting together the organization and the bylaws associated with the pathways for funds and decision-making to be made would be a good idea. And in many ways, the year delay is helpful in that regard because you can really get a picture of how you want to put that together. And there are very good models for that. You really don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are very good models, especially in the state of California.
But since that task force is the one that has to receive the money that has the contract with the railroad, what kind of challenges are in that area of the legal organization?
Well, the nice thing about that is that the communities that are involved in it, the stakeholder groups that are involved, set up their organization, say, this is how we are going to work with each other. These are the authorities that we're going to give to taking action. And then the Alaska Railroad is involved. Once you guys get that figured out and you decide how you want to do it, and if you have some money in hand, then you go to the Alaska Railroad Board of Directors and say, hello, here's what we'd like to do. Can we set up a commercial agreement?
Still seems like to me we need to have some kind of legal entity
like
or something.
Like the part of it and like the outlining how the money will flow through.
It seems like to me that because the legislature is the one that's going to appropriate that money, and they're going to want some kind of quote more legal entity, I would think, than what this the vague one we're talking about.
So just a suggestion. Sure. Well, there's a couple of things. Al Lux from JBear. So point number one is if money starts flowing, I probably as a federal employee cannot be part of the task force, and JBear probably have to redelegate itself as a cooperative agency or something like that, without a vote, that sort of deal.
Okay.
Another suggestion is, since I was involved in a lot of the partnership with the Knick Arm Kubota at the time, doing the new bridge, they probably have a model and some sort of bylaws of how money transfers and is spent, because they were doing it. So that's a suggestion. Maybe go to them, see what they have. Maybe you can duplicate it.
I'm sure some of the KPAs in California that run corridor services might be able to just over the phone kind of talk through their JPA organization and how money flows from the state and how they expend the flows. It would seem that they would want to talk about that because they're public agencies, and they would want to help other public agencies, and that model might be a useful one for setting up the JPA in Alaska for rail service. I could talk to them if you'd like me to.
Yeah.
August is a good time for them to come up here to go fishing.
Right.
State fair.
Yeah, whatever information you can provide, it sounds good to me.
Well, and but I think that part of the key too is if we get the funding appropriated this year, it changes the timelines. So, and if we don't get the funding in by the end of August of this calendar year, then it gives us a little bit more time to get all that worked out, correct?
Yes, actually, I think, the disappointing news was the legislature didn't appropriate anything in this session. The good news is it gives us an opportunity to figure out how we put together the governing body and can do that without running a sprint.
Okay. Okay, Ernie, what else you got? You got any other good news?
That is all.
Okay,
I have a clarifying question, Ernie. Some states like Connecticut and Utah run commuter rail themselves, but I guess what you were saying last time is that they run it through a joint powers authority, right? When the state runs it, because I still see the alternative that the state of Alaska DOT could run commuter rail.
Well, actually, the state of California, the model there, not completely, but partially, is that it is those joint powers boards. In the state of Connecticut, it's state-run. In the state of Maryland, it's state-run. In the state of Delaware, it's state-run. But those are set up through the DOTs, and it takes a certain amount of time to do that. But it changes how the money flows and how the money is designated. If the state of Alaska wanted to set up something like the state of Connecticut or Delaware or Maryland or another one of the entities out here on the East Coast, you could do that similarly too. But I don't think that we're going to figure that out in the first year.
But it seems, it seems to me if we run into difficulty setting up this joint powers authority as we did in the between 2002-2009, we might look to the state DOT as an alternative to set it up, since other states are able to do it. In other words, I just don't want to rule out any alternatives here. I don't want to just assume that the state of Alaska can't do it when Connecticut and Delaware and Maryland have all done it.
No, you could certainly do it through the state of Alaska, through the state DOT. That would take some action by the legislature to make a designation to do that. So, that's the way public policy are made.
Yeah, okay, that answers my question. It would take action by the legislature to do it that way. And it just seems like a little farther down the road. I'm certainly no expert to choose whether it should be a joint powers authority or whether it should be the state, but it is just something that might need to be considered down the road. How to set it up.
Lamar, any questions?
Not at this point.
No, I'm fine too. Thank you.
Mayor DeBreeze, but anybody else?
I was just thinking, as the borough's potentially becoming a metropolitan planning organization here in the next census, if that may be an opportunity for alignment as well for funding mechanisms.
So you're talking Matt Subaru? I can't speak for them, yeah. But
but that's something to look at,
right?
Because Council of Governments often.
Because aren't they already in the process of doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it'll be certified for the next census, so.
Yeah, so they're not here. We can steal their money.
I'm in. Automatically, the resource.
Anchorage said we could steal your money.
My planning partners out there would not appreciate that.
But that's part of the process, where in the nearer term, we're looking for the possibility of the power board, but as the borough becomes a
MPO
along with Anchorage, then that, when you're looking down road for the sustainability long term, then that becomes a possible option. So it's kind of a growing evolutionary process in terms of the authority down the road. I mean, once it's set for the joint power board, doesn't mean it can't evolve into what would be a more appropriate mechanism down the road.
Time. Yeah,
sure.
Because that would be what 2020.
Lamar's absolutely right. It should become something else later. The point is, local community involvement is critical to the long-term FTA funding requests that happen. So if you start off with the Joint Powers Board and you come up with something later, that's okay too. But it's just the fact that there's some initiative from the local communities to start doing the work necessary to get the justification for FTA funding. That's what's important.
And there's no way you can't do it without local politics involved anyway. I mean, otherwise it's just going to die on the vine. So. Okay. Well, good.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, this is Mark Luke, and I've actually got to step out to go to a cabinet meeting, but I just want to commend you all for sticking with this, for your attitude to continue to move it forward despite the fact that the legislature didn't do what the governor asked. Not that that's a huge surprise for me, but you know, I appreciate Ernie, again, the work that you've done and your continued support of this effort, and just appreciate you getting the initial recommendation for the governor, the draft put together for the task force to review. I definitely agree with your assessment that this requires local community involvement and continued involvement. So that if we can get a joint powers board put together, that will provide the opportunity to advocate for additional federal funding, for this project. So, again, thank you all for your participation in this, and look forward to seeing the report early.
Roger that.
Okay. So.
Any quick questions for me?
Any questions for the commissioner? Nope, you're good. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Ernie's still there. So any other questions for Ernie? Otherwise, I'm gonna keep going down this list. So everybody knows we'll have a letter this week. We can talk about the next meeting date later in the calendar, but that we'd have a meeting early next week, and then, I don't know about anybody else, but if my name goes on it, I'll make sure it gets hand delivered to the governor, and then we can go from there.
You can just email it out to all of us, and we can say yes or no or whatever. So I don't know that we need to maybe necessarily have to have a meeting, but I don't. Maybe everybody else wants to get together. I don't know.
Well, these guys are looking for a road trip to the valley. Anything else on the timeline, the funding, Ernie's letter, anything on that? Okay, any action items? Okay, Lamar, go ahead.
I guess just a question or clarification. The kind of a two-prong. Right now for the immediate, the task force is this letter, a recommendation for the pilot project. But at some point, I would think we would want to continue for the future planning that needs to be done for this to move forward. Such as for future funding, what longer term planning needs to be done, multi-modal corridor planning, to get that in the STIP so that you're really continuing to lay the groundwork so you open up federal funding down the road beyond the pilot project, and so at what point does this task force start to address those issues? I would think pretty soon, so that we continue to move forward.
I'd like to reiterate what Lamar just said. Lamar and I, the task force wasn't the start of our effort. We started in summer 2015 at the recommendation of somebody from DOT to get commuter rail planning into the STIP, that should be a part of the STIP, and we kept getting ignored by DOT. And the same with the state rail plan. We wrote extensive comments on the draft state rail plan, and so did the Alaska Railroad. All of that was ignored by DOT. And thanks to Sarah Heath's help here, I've compiled all that, this into a packet. It's a lot of copying, but if anybody really wants a copy, they can have it. All the railroad's letters, and again, the lack of response from DOT has me really concerned, because for this to go forward, especially if we should change administrations, but even if we don't,
I believe that it has to be part, we can't just keep treating rail like it's separate from DOT. You know, like the DOT is just a Department of Highways. DOT is Department of Transportation, as Diane brought out at our last meeting. And the railroad stuff has to be included in the Surface Transportation Improvement Program, which follows from the Long Range Transportation Plan, where rail, let alone commuter rail, is left out, okay? The railroad wrote extensive comments on that, which were ignored by DOT. So did we, you know, and all of that is in here, too. And that this is what, this deficiency in DOT's planning documents is what led to the creation of this task force. See, so we have to address that, or else I'm afraid somebody is just gonna sideline us. See what I mean?
I'm in.
So Bert, I've got a couple copies here. I'm gonna give one to you for Archie, so you can see that we're gonna need that, I think.
But we don't need to reinvent the wheel every 3 years.
That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. You said it better than I did.
I'll take one too if you have an extra. Well, I should know it. I'll ask Bert to.
He can make copies for us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'd be good for you to have one too. Yeah. I just didn't want to have Sarah have to do too much copying, but Sarah, if you don't mind, make a few more copies. Thank you.
I just bring that up again. I think that needs to be part of our agenda, just so we don't forget that moving forward.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, if I could,
go ahead.
Put in for a minute. If there are any other questions for me, I'm happy to take them. Right now, we have intense budget problems across our system that's taken my signal system down, and I'm getting calls from my operational center to deal with those. So,
anything for Ernie before he cuts us off? Nope, Ernie, thank you for everything you've done.
I'm very happy to do it. I'm just sorry that we had these storms coming through. I just need to deal with what I got right now.
Okay, well, we all look forward to the letter by the end of the week. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
And then, Justin, did you have anything? Anything else?
No, really. If you want some introductions to people who have well-established JPAs, and would like some insight on what works and what doesn't work and what are the lessons learned, I'd be happy to make some introductions for you.
Well, and so I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here. Probably it doesn't. I don't think anybody's against you checking around to see if somebody would be willing to come up here, maybe, and do a face-to-face. I don't think we have any money, but I mean, if somebody's looking for a vacation to come up and do a presentation, I think the more information, the better.
All right. Well, I'll definitely ask around. I'm pretty sure that at a minimum, some of the principals would be available to talk to. To anybody by telephone.
Okay. If we need to do a face-to-face after that, we can probably, I'm sure Anchorage has some money we can get. So we'll find something, but I think that would be great. And like I said, no matter where we go, I think we still need the information. I don't think it hurts.
Right.
So no, I appreciate you volunteering to reach out to people.
Happy to do it.
Okay. Anything for Justin while we got him here in case? Okay, next I've got on the agenda is action items. Do we need any action items, or I think we all kind of know what's coming next? Okay, it is not on here, but before we go to the next meeting date, I'm going to ask for public comment. We've got people sitting here, and I've got no problem with public comment. Cynthia?
Yes. I'd like to introduce Mwasi Mwemba, if I can say your name right, who has been shown interest for quite a while in our commuter rail project. And I particularly encourage him to come to this meeting. He's an engineer. You can explain who you work for, hopefully. The reason I wanted him to come to this meeting is that Mayor Berkowitz, who I'm very sorry is not here today, has really been touting Anchorage as such a diverse community. And, we have some of the biggest diversity in the country in our schools. And what I think is so interesting about that diversity and different nationalities is that
just about every civilized country in this world has commuter rail, except us, you know. And all these different people that are coming here from all these different places come from countries where they have commuter rail. And so we could use this diversity in Anchorage, not just to turn everybody into automobile drivers, but to bring some of their knowledge from where they come from into our community. In other words, so that we're not just, because I'm a substitute teacher in the school district sometimes too, and so we're always teaching these kids from Malaysia or what's that country in Laos, the Hmong kids, we're always teaching them the American flag and all this stuff like that. And what I'm interested in though is to bring some of their cultural values into Anchorage so we're becoming more diverse, and particularly if they have commuter rail systems. So that's why, if you could just come and talk a little bit about what you sent me, I'd really appreciate that.
If you just want to have a seat there in the front, sir, or stand up and do it, whatever's comfortable.
I want to stand here.
Just so we can hear you. Yes.
Okay, can you hear me?
Can you, making sure. Justin, can you hear him on the phone?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. My name is Mwasi Mwamba. I work here in Anchorage and live in Wasilla, so I'm one of those who may actually benefit from the commuter rail. I met Cynthia at actually a couple of transportation fair meetings. I was just interested in what she's doing. She's showing this commuter rail station out of Wasilla, and I live just a mile down, and I thought that would be so nice to have. And what she got interested in that she thought I should share with the group is the commuter rail system in Nairobi, Kenya, which is where I grew up. So just a little bit of background. The railroad system there was built by the British in the early 1900s. They called it the Lunatic Express because members of parliament said it was a railroad to nowhere. But actually, 100 years later, you have a city that was established there because of the railroad system itself. And now it's the capital city of the country. When I was last there, which was 8 years ago, the population was about 3 million people. And they're in the process of rebuilding their entire roadway system because of congestion. And they still have issues with congestion now. And one of the ways they figured of addressing that was by taking the existing railroad system and adding commuter rail to it. So for a lot of people, that's a boon because it cuts down their commuting costs. So when I looked at the costs right now, they range somewhere within US dollars, somewhere between 20 cents to a dollar for each trip, depending on which station you are. So the existing system is built along the existing railroad, but it's in the process of being upgraded. So there are several plans. And I think right now within the metropolitan area, from what I know, I don't live there, so I haven't been using it. But from what I know is that they have about 99 miles of rail within the metro area of Nairobi and surrounding communities. So they've been building new stations. They have plans to expand the system. And it brings down the cost for a lot of people that need to go downtown, where it takes a really long time to commute by car or by public transportation. The rail cuts down that time to a fairly short amount of time. And just like here in Anchorage, there's a plan to add a system that connects to the airport as well. So you'll be able to travel to the airport and travel to other communities while you're in that area. So
that's excellent.
She thought I should share. And I think that would be great to have there, you know. And
Sometime maybe in the future, I'd like Mwasi to put on a little larger presentation of what happened in Nairobi, because I think there's some real similarities there, even though Nairobi is a lot bigger than Anchorage, and that's just that you already had an existing railroad built by the British government, just like the Alaska Railroad was already built by the federal government before the highways were built, you know, and that then you turned it into commuter rail, and that's what we're trying to do here, because so many people here think that it's light rail or they think that it's some new system instead of being built on the existing system. So I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping in the future maybe you could talk more about that when we're doing planning and stuff like that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So Cynthia, before I forget my one thought.
Yeah.
So you're saying for us to truly succeed, DOT needs to have a bigger focus, a bigger umbrella encompassing the rail transit, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, Diane, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Who's Diane?
I don't know.
No, wait a minute. No, I got confused. I was thinking you were done. I'm sorry. No, she's not here, is she?
No.
I think she's back there. Okay. Yeah, I got confused. If we go back to the last meeting, Diane Woodruff elaborated on that really well. I don't know if we're going to have transcripts of these meetings or anything, but it's just the idea that all of this needs to be included in all the DOT's plans. And because planning right now, whether we get money for a pilot project or not, the way I've been told, DOT could be, you know, appropriating $500,000 of planning money to plan for commuter rail into their STIP. See what I mean? That's not dependent on a pilot project. The long-range transportation plan, putting the rail into that plan is not dependent on a pilot project. You see what I mean? It just needs to go in there. We asked to have it in there 3 years ago, and we were ignored. See?
Well, I think the more exposure, the more public relations we do on the transit plan.
That's right.
The better off it is for everybody. And I'm not trying to pit DOT against the Alaska Railroad. I'm not trying to do that.
No.
I think we look at the goal to go from point A to point B. I don't care who does it. It's just how we do it.
Right. And so in addition to recommending the pilot project, I think we should recommend what Lamar and I recommended in 2015, both to get commuter rail into the STIP, as planning money for commuter rail into the STIP, maybe not the actual money.
Right, but so it would just be an automatic,
part of their budget. Yeah, right, so it's part of their budget, the way Diane Woodruff explained it, it'd be part of everything, be put into the long-range transportation plan, that the state rail plan be updated the way the railroad suggested. In other words, that, in my words, I know this is too harsh for some people, but I'm sorry, DOT just needs to do their job. That's the bottom line.
Oh, no, I think that's a good quote. I'll give you all the credit. Cynthia said.
Well, I mean, I know that some people think I'm too harsh, but it's just the way I see it. So.
I don't want to be sitting here. I only got 2.5 years to go, and I'm turned out. Let's get something done.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel.
I agree. Go ahead. Come on up and introduce yourself. And thanks for being here today.
I'm Kenny Hewling, and I'm a public citizen. I run all kinds of markets and farmers markets, and I work with homeless women housing them in the valley. And I have had 16 calls now from people who did the survey that I went out and did on my own that I brought to the group here from the Matsu College. They've all called me on the card that I gave them, asking them, when's this going to start? We want to use it. Every transportation fair I've gone to only has anything to do with roads and a couple bus things. They don't have train, they don't have planes, they don't have ferries. Those are all part of transportation too. Those are all cheaper options to be able to get people around, and in some cases might be the only way to contact them, either through the inner part of the state, getting by rail, or when you've got an island town like Kodiak or Yakutat or all these other places that are accessible by boat and hard to get in by air. So, you know, and so I think we need to look at being more balanced and maybe integrating some of this stuff and doing infrastructure. If we kick the can down the road, it's literally going to cost more money and going to take more planning, and then new people will have to be involved and everybody have to get up to speed, and we've been doing this for years. I equate it back to the trunk road situation, whereas when I was in high school in 72, they started talking about widening the road. They finally did it about 8 years ago. You know, it's needed, and now the main road probably could benefit with having like 6 lanes of road going into Anchorage, but it's not happening, and we don't want to put the money into the roads there. I think we need to look at alternatives. Commuter rail is perfect. I would use it all the time. I use it when I go to other places, and I come back home and I'm thinking, we're innovative on everything up here. Why aren't we on that? So, you know, we have opportunity. We're new. We can do these things. Why don't we just do it? You know, if it doesn't work, change it. You know, alter whatever, but I think we need to try them rather than say, no, we don't do it that way.
And I brag about what they do for the fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they're, you know, $15, I think that was what the number was, for $15 I can get on the train in Anchorage, go out to the fair and come back.
And by the way, I've used it.
Yeah, I mean, that's worth just not having to wait in line and road rage and have the kids and the wife in the car. I mean, that's worth $15 right
there.
Well,
and I saw, just so you know, I had to do a double commute into Anchorage and back for the last few days because my dad's been in long-term care in Anchorage, and then my mother doesn't drive, so I've had to drive her in the morning and go back and pick her up at night. And I've done this for 5 days in a row in between doing all my other meetings and stuff, and I'm basically volunteering because I'm a citizen just coming into the meeting because I care about this. And so I counted 69 moose on the flats yesterday. That's 69 potentials of somebody hitting one. And I saw people out there gawking. They parked in the road. They weren't even on the side of the road, taking pictures, not knowing what else is going around them. I mean, we can avoid accidents, sleep deprived people on the road, less inexperienced drivers on the road. We can have something else to do. And several of the kids said, we can do our homework on the train. And, you know, there's other options that are actually healthy and better for citizens to have the train going. So that's my little say again for today, and I'm going to keep on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Governor, did you want to say anything?
Well, I'd like to just say that I congratulate you folks. We've been talking about commuter rail for a long, long time. We've got a railroad depot at the airport that we built a long time ago for the commuter train. We'll have a hotel for the people from the Mattaseu Valley to stay overnight and catch a plane. And we're further along than we've ever been. And I congratulate you, Mr. Garrett, the chairman of the committee. I'm here because to show my interest in the project and move on. And I think we've got a good start now. And the governor hired Ernie Piper to kind of help lead the organization to where we're going and get it started. And you folks are positive about it. If everyone will just stay positive and with the end result in sight always, I think we'll make it.
I was trying to figure out some way to get Alaska Railroad, with all their trucks they run on there now, I was trying to figure out how big of vans they could pull behind them trucks and we could just do a shuttle with the cars that are already using the tracks, but they told me I can't do that. So, but anyway, I think we can get there if we just keep pushing. I don't know what else to do.
I mean, I think you got a great start, and I'm really pleased. I was a little dubious about the whole thing to begin with here, but I think that you've got a good handle on it, and I'm just here to help. Anything I can do, I know who's got the money and where it is, and that's kind of what I do. And I remember Cynthia, that was several years ago, she had this article about, and I remember the caption, Kinnick Arm Bridge versus the commuter rail. And so I just noticed that the legislature put a bunch of money in for the Kinnick Arm Bridge again. Now we got to kill it again.
Right.
And use some of that money maybe for commuter rail, huh? There's a one challenge.
I think if the pilot program goes even as half as good as what I think it will, I think once we get it started, then I think you'll have the political support to keep it going and expand it as far as stopping a couple more spots. And I think once we get it up and running and people see what it can do and the price is affordable, it's got to be affordable, I think there's no stopping it then.
And it has to be on time.
Right.
And the buses have to be right there when the train's coming in. The buses got to be wheeling in there to take them to work and take them home. And I think that's probably one of the largest, not a problem, but a program for the Mattaseu Valley and the city of Anchorage to
figure out.
They got a bus mentality. And so they're going to have to speed those buses up, maybe have smaller buses and more of them. And when that train comes in, that bus has got to be there to make this whole thing work.
Right. I had breakfast with somebody today in the valley that their wife has a stand here at the market every summer. And they said, you know what, there's a lot of times we just go, you know what, we're going to take the bus. I don't want to drive, just too many crazy things going on today, which you drive the bus, and wherever they get dropped off, they said, we walked the extra couple blocks, it works just right. So, and we talked about the train, they said, we'd ride the train if we could, so.
Well, that's what trains are for.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Well, I think once we got the pilot program up, and there's going to be some bugs. We all know there's going to be some bugs and kinks we need to work out. But once we got them worked out, I think you'd be hard-pressed to shut it down.
Well, that came up in one of my markets. The kids, they all said, well, we could go to the downtown market in Anchorage because we could go right down the train and we'd get off right there and we could just take a roller thing with us and sell our products. So that's come up.
Cynthia?
Oh, I just wanted to mention, we don't want to forget about the public private vans for major employers, because I'm wondering who's going to work on that, because I know the municipality could work on buses, but I don't know that the municipality would want to take on working with the major employers like the Providence Hospital or like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service where I work, whoever's going to, you know, have those vans.
We already do that.
What?
We already do that.
Oh, you already do that? Okay. Because wouldn't they be contributing some private money?
The money usually comes from the riders themselves. So the municipality is subsidized through the SIP, that money comes to provide the service.
And so then the municipality could work with Providence Hospital and people like that.
Already happening.
We could just call it the Anchorage, Alaska, Port Rail, and then do it to get on their buses.
There's some federal dollars for all those programs now.
Yeah.
Right.
Because which could be.
The ANMC would be a good, you know, the Alaska Native Medical Center, that might be a way to involve tribal money. I don't know much about that either, but a lot of those people coming in from the valley, they're going to be going to ANMC for health stuff.
In the same, I know J-Bear can't get involved, but I mean, they told us that, you know, the number's at least 3,000 people a day coming through the gate of J-Bear from the valley. And the number is probably higher than that. So, I mean, we just got to go shake the tree, Governor.
Many thousands of people are out at the hospital there? So,
yeah.
Right.
All that out there is probably.
Right. Providence is already paying share ride vans and some of the oil companies that
want to
go green.
There's 43 vans right now that are currently traveling from the valley to J-Bear.
Wow. I didn't know they're that many. To J-Bear?
To J-Bear.
43?
43.
Wow.
Out of 74.
Out of what?
Out of 74 vans that are active right now, 43 of them go from the valley to J-Bear.
Yeah. So instead of having their vans go back and forth on the road, you can just have the vans at the stop in Anchorage. Or where?
That was kind of our idea too, is having, they could be right down at the depot and then you got trained and then bring them on. So.
Right.
Or commuters might even put a second car down there and just keep it in Anchorage.
Right. And so there's a place for a secondary market, i.e. whether it's private parking lots or Alaska River parking lots or somebody. I mean, we can figure it out. I mean, if you give us a year, I'm sure I know that Anchorage can figure it out. So.
Well, would we, I guess this would be for Jamie. Would there be a way to get more vans, like difference between 43 and 74, plus some vans, if we need more operating in Anchorage, like from Providence Hospital or
different
places?
Yeah, so right now the contract changed with Enterprise, and so rather than the municipality owning the assets, Enterprise owns the assets, and so they can put as many vans out as they can fill. So it all will be driven by demand. One of the things about van pool that's important to note, though, is that van pool's affordability is based on the distance traveled. So if you're running inner city, if you're running short distance, the way that the model is set up through those companies, through van pooling, shorter the trip, higher the cost. So that's going to be something that will need to be worked out with those contractors. They drive the market, they drive the cost. We subsidize
the trip, shorter the trip, the higher the cost. Mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of van pool, is longer trip, more people, more affordable. So that's the van pool model. That's why these vans come in from the valley, 43 of them to J-Bear. It's a long trip.
So Mascot in the valley, City of Wasilla owns the land and the building. So we already have, I mean, anyway, there's ways to do it.
Ways to have more vans in Anchorage than the difference between 43 and 74, so that we have to get enough vans to take to all these different employers, is what I'm thinking.
There will be different models.
It'll be a different model.
But I need vans to get them to the depot.
Do we have to put that money into our package, though?
That's what people come.
No, not now. We need to get to the 6 million so he can start. Brian can start. The gentleman in the blue vest, you had your.
Hi, my name's Robert Genasi. I work for the Department of Transportation, but I just had a kind of a thought, and I've mentioned this to Ann Brooks as well and Tom. But a lot of people that travel back and forth, I mean, I'm sure they're thinking, and I could spend this time a little bit more wiser, things I could be doing than driving in a car. And I thought, what about a partnership with certain fitness clubs? So you have you rent out a car, and for example, the Alaska Club could rent out a car. And as you're commuting from Palmer to Anchorage or Anchorage to Palmer, you could work out, get exercise, get in your fitness that you usually try to do in the morning, and then go work. And then when you commute back, then you can also exercise as well. Because I know there's a lot of people that wish they could do that, but instead they have to commute by car. So there's possibilities of maybe partnering or renting, finding some stream of revenue through the Alaska Club or other fitness organizations. So this is a fact.
You sure?
So.
A lot of your work at the other end.
So one of the projects that I worked on was with the university, and the university started a car sharing program. Their vendor actually ended up pulling out because they left the market, but car sharing is going to be a critical piece of this for people that want to be able to do their daily life activities. So I think that looking at the host mobility options once we get people into Anchorage is going to be super important. So thank you for bringing that up. But whether it's private public partnership type thing or whether the powers that be, you know, sign an agreement to figure out how we're going to do those other trips that need to be made, that's important. It's really important.
Healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. Car share, bike share,
yeah.
All the shares.
Well, I'm sure people that are commuting could also work on the train, or they could read a book, but sometimes people just want to get their workout in before they have to go home and attend to their kids.
Do we have workout training? Can I have a cardio train?
Yeah, you can push.
You can push.
Yeah, pebbles.
I was just saying, you should have the pebbles hooked right to the electronics. And
Your hair goes down
awesome.
The more you
pebble. Yeah, but you could, in the meeting, Brian's talked about once we get further down the tracks on this project, that they would need cars that actually have internet, Wi-Fi, all this kind of stuff, because currently it's not there, or it's very, very limited at all. And so, I mean, once you got up and running, you know, I mean, they're going to need additional equipment, additional cars, a whole Christmas wish list.
But it seems to me like, just like for the party trains, you could just put on an empty car, couldn't you? There are people who could do exercises.
Yoga on the train.
Yeah,
as long as you make money, you'll do anything, right?
Spread out some yoga mats.
Okay.
What
then we're gonna wrap up.
Too is I talked to the senior center in Palmer, and several of them thought it would be a good idea to use their vans in the morning to get people to the train or back from the train. And they've got vans sitting there. They've got people that can drive them. They do things in the middle of the day for the seniors, but the seniors would like to be able to go to Anchorage to do things,
right.
And a lot of them can't drive and don't have a car. So there's a lot of them in that particular area because that Palmer has got quite a bit of senior housing. So. That might be an option.
We could have swap the senior day, so we can swap the ones in the valley for the ones in the Anchorage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Otherwise, I'm going to look at the next meeting date. So how about if we do this, just as a suggestion. We'll have the letters to everybody by the end of this week. And then once we get the letters, everybody take a look at it. We'll have Colleen. Where'd you go? She left.
She's right there.
Oh, sorry. So we'll have Colleen send them out to everybody, and then what we can also do, everybody take a look at them. We can all get together in the valley. You guys can get together in Anchorage. We can do a teleconference between the two of us and work it out over the phone, because next week's going to be nuts because it's right before Memorial Day, so everybody goes running off everywhere. So, but we can do a teleconference, and so we don't have to do a face-to-face, and just go over the letter, get the letter done, get it sent, and delivered. Does that make sense?
I guess so, but when are we going to find out about the attorney, or check with the attorney general about whether we can be a joint powers for
Well, who's going to do that?
DOT can take on that question.
Okay.
Well, they can? Okay.
And you want to come up with a timeline by next week or something?
Yeah, I can check with their. I know they're pretty busy right now. I can see when they can get to a question like that.
Okay. Any other action items? Or so I would say next Tuesday we do a telephonic between us mayors in the valley can all get together, and then you guys get together and we'll set up something through call-in.
Could we get together physically in the same room, the people in Anchorage, and then mm-hmm. you guys sit physically in the same room, and then...
Can we do a video conference back and forth, or does that work, or I don't know.
You do it at the Palmer Library.
Yeah, Palmer Library, yeah, we'll come to Palmer.
Okay,
so we can get on our end in Palmer.
And then
we'll look at that. If there's space available, there's some functionality with the DOT on that.
And then we Anchorage people could come here or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know if they can do it here, but we can look at that.
We'll find out. Yeah, we have one at our building also.
Tuesday, how about a week from today? Tuesday, same time? 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Colleen, does that work?
That sounds great.
As long as we have the letter,
I never tell. Yep, well, Ernie's promised, otherwise we're not paying him. So Tuesday next week is what date?
22nd.
This is
22nd. Tuesday, 1 p.m., we'll do a teleconference. Ryan, that worked good for you?
I'm trying to get something moved.
Tim said he'll make Tim go. He's got nothing to do.
He's got nothing to do now, right?
Not cheap, just for any.
Could we still have the public come, like say for instance if the Anchorage people have their meeting here, we could still have the public come here, Anchorage public and the Anchorage.
I'll post it on our side. Yeah, I'll post it on our side. So
where will you be meeting, Wasilla?
We're gonna meet Edna's gonna give us a Palmer Library. I've never been there anyway, so that's good. Yes. Her turn. We need to go to Palmer anyway.
Yeah.
We haven't been there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't come. That's the panel. Okay, anything else? Good to go? Yes, sir.
Real quick, so if you're planning on possibly a pilot project in 2019, there's a Glen Highway milepost 3442 project that's being advertised right now. So you're going to have some summer construction going on for the next 4 years. In that area?
It's a winter pilot anyway.
Yeah, this is winter only. Yeah, six
that's
months.
Winter only? Okay.
Yeah. Brian, is what?
But there'll still be construction.
What months were you looking at?
Middle October to middle of April. Yeah.
Is that 6 months?
Six-ish.
Yeah. All right. You went to school in Palmer, too. Okay. And what milepost did you say?
It's from Parks Interchange up into Palmer.
Out of Spreader Loop to downtown, pretty much, right?
Well, phase one and phase two. So the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to have construction on the Glen from
in Palmer.
Parks Interchange into Palmer.
We could put some passenger cars on the gravel train.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You will have
can
sighting.
You do that? You want to do that?
It's a slow train.
Yeah.
I don't think that was very enthusiastic.
Be the short train, right? Short train, slow train. All right, anybody got anything else? Anyway, I think this was a good meeting.
Yeah.
I show the time at 2:11 p.m. We're adjourned. So, Justin, thanks again.
My pleasure.
I work for public facilities.
Okay.
So over here.
Yeah. Upside down building.
Yeah. Okay. And what do you do?
Highway design, project engineer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. Interested in rail?
I don't know how I got on this topic. Been invited, but I've never been able to make it out to the valley.
Okay.
So I was finally able to come here.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I signed up to be transportation fairs or something.
Oh, okay.
But I'm interested. I mean,
interested public person. Makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So wherever I can do to help, and it's nice to know what's going on. I have the Glen Highway is one of my projects, so.
Oh, okay.
So it does impact what we're doing.
Yeah.
But anything we can do to improve transportation. I really enjoy the active part of transportation with the pet and bicycle.
Yeah.
But, you know, transit is also important as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we can do more and create more livable, active lifestyles, then it's going to do better for everyone.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Well, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. So, before I know, is it Vadim's over there?
Yep, I work right next to Vadim.
Okay. Yeah, I went to school with him.
Oh, okay.
My wife is Russian, so I've been a Russian tourist.
Yeah.
And there for a while.